This is Renegade Broadcasting.
I was out on the road late at night. I seen my pretty Alice in every headlight. Alice, Dallas Alice. And I've been from Tucson to Tucumcari, to Hatchape, to Tonopah, driven every kind of rig that's ever been made. Driven the back road so I wouldn't get weighed. And if you give me weed, white sand wine, and you show me a
greetings. Welcome to the Body of the People. This is the Militia Intelligence Report, and I am a man called Chris Dorsey. You're listening to the Renegade Broadcasting Network. Renegade Broadcasting, I should say. RenegadeBroadcasting.com. On tonight's Militia Intelligence Report, we're going to cover the origins of the law, which is the militia. We're going to get into the historical foundations. We're going to cover King Alfred the Great of England, and how that's kind of the basis of our English common law militia system, that is the basis of the rule of law that we are supposed to be living under, which is explicitly enumerated as the basis of the Constitution for the United States. We're going to talk, of course, about what in particular the founders and colonists of America, the colonists, the colonial militia, how it operated, and how the framers of the Articles of Confederation, the Virginia Constitution, which set the basis through Article 1, Section 13 of Virginia Constitution for all other militia clauses in other state constitutions, and for that matter, the Second Amendment to the Constitution for the United States. We're going to cover all that stuff, how the founders felt about the right to bear arms, how many, including Jefferson, said that removing arms from the people is the easiest and most effectual way to enslave the people and the public. So we're going to get into all of that stuff tonight. And in addition, during hour two, we're going to take some calls. And we'll probably take some calls in hour one if you like. And if you got the number, feel free to call anytime. But we'll be giving the number out later on in the show. I kind of want to get right into the militia and that being the basis for our European and Western common law, which is our law, our cultural law, our societal norms. What was the law enforcement arm throughout the United States of America up until the war between the states, also known as the War of Northern Aggression? So we'll get right into it. And as I was saying before, it's important to comprehend the basis and the history of our people, because that is the only way we can comprehend, and even in this instance, understand the rules, the cultural rules set forward by our ancestors. And the word militia is, it's kind of a noun derived usage of a Latin term. And the Latin term is, let's see, where did I write that down? I apologize. Anyways, Militia Derash, oh, excuse me, Vulgus Militum. Excuse me, my bad. Anyways, so basically the word militia, it derives from the Latin word militia. And of course, the founders were well versed in the origins of classical Roman culture and Latin. So they also comprehended when they used the word militia, it harkened back to the days of its origin in English common law through Alfred the Great. When Alfred the Great used the militia, he called up in southern England to defeat the Danes, also known as the Vikings, and kind of beat them back to a royal palace of King Alfred's. That was Chippenham, and then he sued, you know, the Vikings and Danes, or the Vikings also being the Danes, sued for peace after that point. But that is the basis of our militia system to this modern day, and it's cited in Supreme Court cases from the 20th century as well. Not that we need a Supreme Court for telling us what to do, because the militia is our reason for being. That's the basis of our law. And the abstract noun meaning of militia is military service. And that doesn't just include offensive or defensive military actions. That also means all preventative matters, and also the preparation for any possible disaster that may occur. And that's very important, because the government, as we know, as anyone listening to this show and following the work of the Virginia Militia knows, the government is behind creating most of the disasters that occur in the world today. And that could be a mass shooting in San Bernardino, California. It could be a live television shooting in Roanoke, Virginia. It could be an earthquake in central Italy near an outlet for the CERN operations in Switzerland. But we know these things. So we also know that the Defense Department of the United States has countless numbers of deadly weapons that are what we would consider non-conventional. All the deadly weapons of war, mind control machines, weather warfare machines, weather warfare plans and operations, deep underground military bases, weaponized space, all of these things, they must be in the hands of the militia, which is, if you follow the author of Article 1, Section 13 of Virginia Constitution, which is George Mason, he says this: "I ask, sir, what is the militia? It is the whole people, except a few public officials." And that's in the ratification of the Virginia Convention. So that's what you need to know. It's every able-bodied man. That's what basically Alfred the Great operated under, every able-bodied man. And this was the only hope. There were invaders, and there was a natural order, the Anglo-Saxon laws, the Anglo-Saxons' last stand in England, in the south of England, when Alfred the Great had to escape, narrowly escape, from Chippenham, his palace, where he was there for Christmas, to celebrate Christmas. Hey, the Danes didn't care about that. They came right at him, right into the new year. and in 878, and he was barely able to escape, and then basically the remnants of his army fought a guerrilla war, and they could barely hold on until he was able to call up the militia. And when Alfred the Great called up the militia, that's when they started beating back their enemy, because the militia is the law of the land. The militia is the people married to their land and defending it as their duty, not some sort of volunteer thing that, that we offer to undocumented aliens in our country, not something that, folks are forced into because they got nothing else to do and nowhere else to go, and they want money. And it's not for the psychopaths that and the, you know, dregs of society that normally end up as in our volunteer military. Our military is not really European anymore. Look at who's in our military. Look at how big it's becoming. Look at how it's becoming kind of just an industry. It's a military industry. And this is what we have. We don't even have a government military anymore. We have a private, global, Jewish, banker-dominated military. And one of its key arrows in the quiver is the United States military, which, according to Leon Panetta, does not, who was then Department of Defense head of the Pentagon, he stated before a Senate subcommittee hearing that the United States military, it does not take its marching orders from the Congress. It instead listens to international governing bodies and takes the orders from the UN, the United Nations, which is Jewish controlled, Jewish banker controlled, and NATO. We can say the same about NATO. And of course, we can say the same as we covered last week about the Russian Federation and the People's Bank of China and the Red Army, et cetera, all the nations of the world. So, I'm going to take a caller right now. I'm going to add him to the call. 931. Can I ask who you are and where you're calling from?
Yes, it's James from Tennessee. I was just calling to listen in for a minute. I'm not sure what the topic is tonight.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, happy to hear from you, James. We're talking about the origins of the militia, the origins and the basis of our common law being the militia. And yeah, if you have anything to add, basically, we just went over a little bit about what the founders thought about the militia, a couple quotes like from George Mason and Alfred the Great being kind of the father of the modern English and Western common law militia-based system. So yeah, if you have anything to add, feel free to jump in at any time. And I'll get back to, we were discussing the fact that, also discussing the fact that the United States Defense Department does not have anything to do with defending the American people. The United States Defense Department is merely a very important military enforcement arm for the Jewish bankers and also for the international world government. And basically what we know right now from Jade Helm 15 UWEX 16 and various other operations that are occurring underneath those banners, we now know that the United States military is engaged in offensive military actions against the American people. And that's not even to mention, of course, the poisoning of our air. Of course, everyone speaks about, oh, we need water to live. But before we need water, and of course, our oxygen is partially water, as we all know, we first need air. And on top of poisoning our water, our government is purposely in an offensive act of war. This has been documented, folks, by the German government, that this geoengineering is a UN NATO operation, an operation of the United States Defense Department. They are poisoning our air that we breathe. So first, for us to be humans, like every other animal, we have to breathe air. And they are waging a war on our air. That's the war on air that we breathe. So these are just some things to remember. And how if you think, if all of these weapons of war were put into the hands of the militia, the Virginia militia, which is, you know, under the law would have a lion's share of the world's most deadly weapons, when you consider the location of the Pentagon and the location of the Eastern Fleet and the military industrial complex corridor of Northern Virginia, etc. We probably wouldn't want to poison ourselves, nuke ourselves, place military martial law against ourselves, because we know under the law, the militia is enumerated as the party that has all the access and authority over all the deadly weapons of war. And that's because we wouldn't want to kill ourselves with these weapons of war that our so-called government, our occupied Zionist government, is engaging in war against us with. We wouldn't use it against us. We would gain control of it and arrest for treason those who are not cooperating with us in government, in media, in corporations, in the banking industry. And of course, it would be absurd for our Western European Anglo-Saxon law-based culture to allow Jews to serve in any way, or allow any of these folks who are in government, who have engaged in this espionage, to serve in government anymore, especially those, because it does take a majority of Catholics and Protestants and so-called Europeans to become traitors and engage in war against their cultural way of life, their common law, and their own people. So we do know it takes all of those things to get us into the absolute mess that we have right now, where our government is overtly, through declassified documents that you can all find that we've talked about and we've linked on every single page, on every single broadcast that we've done, the United States military is engaged in offensive war against the people. I was picked up and abducted during Jade Helm 15. Abducted. Disarmed. My 380 ripped off my side. Not for the first time. Not for the second time. Not for the third time. This has happened many times. But last summer, June 10th, 2015, I was abducted off the street by the Department of Homeland Security and the Richmond Police Department. Many others involved. And of course, this is at the orders of the Virginia Bar Association and the Bar Association lawyers that control the Department of Homeland Security, the Pentagon, including my brother, Benjamin Wrench Dorsey IV, and many, many others, abducted off the street, disarmed, camera confiscated. And folks are saying martial law is coming. Look at Baltimore. It's already here. Look at Boston, where militarized police units are going door to door. And you'll have silly persons out there saying, well, I know about these guys called the Oath Keepers. And the Oath Keepers, they're not going to allow us, the Oath Keepers and 3% and the U.S. military, they're not going to They're not going to disarm the American people. They're already doing it, you idiots. They're already doing it. And these police and these members of the military, they don't know anything about the basis of the law. They've never read the Constitution. They swear an oath on the Constitution, and they never even read it. They don't know what's inside of it. They don't know what it's based on. They're the police and the military, for the most part now. Hey, and I'm talking to you in there. If you're not part of it, then you just gotta follow our orders, which is you're sworn to do anyways, and arrest your bosses. But by and large, these police, these cops, and these guys in the military, they're kind of the bottom of the barrel when it comes to the American public, especially the Europeans. All right, we're gonna add it's like David Dotrieve to the call. David, is that you? 985.
Yes, sir, it is me.
Okay.
Well, you really are peaking tonight, Chris. As I've said before, this isn't just a radio show we're engaged in right now. This is, you can think of this as an indictment, because everything the government is engaged in is 100%, 1,000% unacceptable. I mean, this is humanity's life at stake here. Now, what I'm advocating is that there's a lot of angry people around, a lot. Now, in order to make this work, you have to direct or project your anger in the right direction. Now, they want us so bad to all be turned into criminals so they can speed up the process even more. I mean, for instance, we know about false flag. We know about mass shootings. And FYI, if anybody's going to shoot up a public place because they're mad at the world, or they're mad because of a governmental agency cut their funding, they're going to go after the right people. They're not going to go after these bystanders who probably have the same idea as them. But like I said, this, you can think of this as a court. We're thinking about when we take control, who we're going to indict and who's going to be on that list, because we're coming for them sooner or later. Sooner or later, people are going to start getting on board. People are going to start to realize, hey, wait a minute. You know, I'm not binded by this constitutional paper. It's not an authority over me. It is a tool in which I can use to the benefit of the people. And it's not the rules of us. It's the rules of our servants.
Absolutely. Absolutely, David. You know, hey, I think that's 100% correct. And I just want to read a quote real quick from one of the, one of the delegates to the Continental Convention. And his name is Tench Cox. And the quote says, "Who are the militia? Are they not ourselves? Is it feared then that when we shall turn our arms, each man against his own bosom? Congress shall have no power to disarm the militia, their swords, and every other terrible implement of the soldier are the birthright of an American. The unlimited power of the sword is not in the hands of either the federal or state governments, but where I trust in God, it will ever remain in the hands of the people." I mean, why don't you just think about that? And I'm definitely going to read that quote again before the end of the show. Did it come through all right, David?
Oh, sure did, as always.
Yeah, okay. Well, hey, I just want everybody to, you know, do what I do. If you're listening to this program in the podcast, stop it and rewind it and play it back. Maybe, like, I don't know, roll a joint and, like, smoke a little bit of it, and then meditate on those words for a few minutes, and then everything will start making sense to you at that point. I mean, everything will really start making sense to you at that point, where he says, "Their swords and every other terrible implement of the soldier." David, have we talked about a lot of really unconventional and terrible implements of the modern soldier on this militia intelligence report?
Oh, I believe we talked about a lot of unconventional tactics and dirty tricks of these so-called men and women in uniform that we worship at NFL events and sporting and commercials. I mean, the military programming, it goes deep. I mean, they give us simple words that anybody could understand just to give us the illusion of freedom. Like, for instance, support our troops. Can anybody really tell me what does that mean? That's just a phrase we all say in the back of our mind to get us. Well, you can be against the war, but you got to support the troops. Well, fuck that. I don't support either one of them. If I support the troops, but I don't like the war, then what's the point of the troops in the first place? I mean, I've said it before.
What's the biggest welfare system in these United States? Everybody's like acting like it's also an excuse to commit treason because they want to get a college indoctrination. Like, they're like, oh, we can pay for college. It's like you get to go to college for free. And I can tell you some real interesting stories about these special ops guys out of Fort Bragg in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and how they would infiltrate, you know, different organizations on campus, like my fraternity, the Kappa Alpha Order. You know, there was a certain element of military intelligence in the order at the Delta Tau chapter at Francis Marion University. I never really got along with those guys too much because they were really shitbags, honestly. And so it's because they were trained that way. And it's because they were just naturally that type of person. And they gravitate to these organizations where it's like, you know, based on our militia and our common law, you know, the spiritual founder, the basis of the Kappa Alpha Order is our honoring of General Robert E. Lee. And so I'm going to, you know, quote, when you talk about the Lee family, I'm also going to quote from members of the Lee family when discussing the militia, the purpose, because, you know, of course it was Richard Lee, Richard Henry Lee, who said, "The militia, when properly formed, are in fact the people themselves, all men capable of bearing arms." And of course, Richard Henry Lee advocated that, and he was one of the primary movers and shakers when it came to the writing and ratifying of Constitution for Virginia and Virginia Declaration of Rights, which is the basis of the Bill of Rights in the United States Constitution. Richard Lee also says, you know, that all Americans should be trained from a young age to be able to use these weapons of war. And so it's not just something that is for the specially trained individual. It's for everyone to do, for the protection of everyone. So we're going to touch on this and much more after the break. We'll be right back. This is the intelligence report on Renegade Radio.
Just another bloody rainy day. We'll be right back.
If you enjoy listening to Renegade Broadcasting, but are not also reading Renegade Tribune, you're missing out. We have some of the most insightful and hard-hitting authors from the past and present, covering some of the most taboo and controversial subjects. The Tribune is something you'll want to check out every single day. Perhaps you have what it takes to be an author. Sign up and submit your piece. Join us at RenegadeTribune.com.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is a man called Chris Dorsey. You're listening to Renegade Broadcasting. I'm so grateful to be on board with everybody at Renegade. This literally is our last hope. The Renegade Broadcast and Renegade Tribune is it's the handbook for the militia. It's the handbook for those who wish to restore our common law, and just, you know, restore our society to basically good from entirely shite, you know, from just being a gigantic garbage society to being basically good. You know, we're not aiming for perfection. Well, we're aiming for perfection. But, you know, if we aim for perfection and fall short, we'll be 1,000 times better off than we are now, because everything is garbage as far as the government, our society, our, you know, daily lives. You know, nobody's really doing anything that's fulfilling, worthwhile, that does something to forward humanity, to give thanks for our bounty, our God-given green earth. Instead, our taxes are used to pay for our own enslavement and the destruction of our habitat. So I just want to, for those who are just tuning in, the show's called Militia, the Basis of Law, or Militia is, let me see what I was calling it, because I think it was important. Militia origin of law. My bad. I'm a little, you know, not right there all the time. But hey, we're being very clear here. As David pointed out, these are indictments. We have gone through the court system. We are on first name basis with all the criminals at all the bar associations, all the police forces, all the special agents in charge of the FBI around here. We all know them. And, Secret Service, of course. We're well familiar. And when we stand up to them, we require that they stand justice and give compensation for their crime and treason. And we do it while we're armed at the same time. And, I got some dumbasses out there on my YouTube channel who watch when we go out armed and film, like, I don't know, us, you know, asking, you're requiring the chief of police in Richmond to hand over their weapons, you know, on police property with lots of media watching this, where I basically go up to this schmuck who's ironically enough named Alfred Durham, a mulatto from Washington, D.C., FBI agent, Marine trained in Quantico, of course, as every police officer above a captain, wherever you are, they've been trained in Quantico. And usually if they're above a sergeant, they're talking to the FBI on a daily basis. This goes for your college and university police as well. And of course, when you talk about the FBI, you talk about staging events, staging false flags, setting up patsies, dumbass idiots in Miami, you know, who were a black gang of Haitians who wanted matching karate outfits. Basically, the FBI took these idiots who didn't even know what the Sears Tower was and framed them for attempting to bomb the Sears Tower. This is what kind of assholes that myself and other militia members confront on camera while armed. That's really all we can do at this time. David was talking about indictments. We've taken out lawful arrest warrants on judges, lawyers, you know, we've attempted to arrest them ourselves while armed. I mean, I don't know what else we can do, but we do need a critical mass. And when we're talking about a critical mass, we're talking about a very small percentage of the population, because a very small percentage of the population are the only ones informed enough to act in a lawful manner. Now, one way to separate militia members from anyone else, no member of the militia participates in elections, because that is a occupied government, and the militia's only purpose is to lawfully abolish the current government. And we can do this very easily. There's many techniques. Basically, every military installation is guarded by military police with guns. So the militia will just guard the top military police with superior guns. We'll go into every installation and we will allow those military officials the militia deems qualified to be armed until we can have every military installation completely run by the militia. So we covered how this is done, how this has been shown to us in the past, and we'll get into very great detail. And I'll even tie it, and David also will be able to tie it to our own family members. And I guarantee you, if you're a European whose family came into this country before the Civil War, and you know, most of you, you'll be able to find ancestors if you're in the United States. But this is the European law. This is the European law because America is a European nation. It was colonized by Europeans for the purpose of being a nation where Europeans live, prosper, and rule. And of course, govern. So we covered how King Alfred, of course, we'll call him Alfred the Great because he was the great. And if you look into English history, there aren't very many the greats. But Alfred the Great, he drove out the Danes. And actually, he didn't even just drive out the Danes. He subdued them as well, you know, because some of the Danes, they just wished to live under the English common law or under the Treaty of Wedmore, which resulted from the militia forming and driving the Danes out of Hampshire. Chippenham, the palace at Chippenham, because the militia was called up from Hampshire. My apologies for the confusion. So Alfred the Great, without the militia, the Danes would have driven the Anglo-Saxon kings, the English kings, out of their own lands. And it was the militia, the only thing that saved the ancient Anglo-Saxon laws and our Anglo-Saxon common law. And that's why we kind of now we forward to the founding of the United States. They were well familiar with King Alfred and how that was the basis of the English common law. So we'll look at the end. We'll look at the 15th century. Excuse me, the 16th century. Right as the English and the Spanish and the French are beginning to colonize the United States. Now, in England, they had what they called the Fried, F-R-Y-E-D or F-R-Y-D, and that's what they called the militia. And that was every able-bodied man from 16 to 60. I think that's good. 16 to 60, those are good ages. Maybe 18 to 60, but good ages for requirements for the militia. And you know, that's what England relied on for the defense of their nation. I'm going to add another caller. Caller 513. Where are you calling from? What's your name?
I'm sorry, I might be calling the wrong number. I was just calling to confirm I was going to be on the Chris Dorsey show at 9 o'clock, which is 20 minutes from now. So I'm sorry if I interrupted your program.
Oh, is this Jim?
This is Jim.
Oh, my. Jim, we had you scheduled for next week. You said the 30th, and then I was like, oh, Monday's the 31st. I sent you a message on Facebook.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I mixed it up. I just didn't want to miss it. So we'll plan to be here next Monday then. That's good.
Is that all right?
Excellent. Yeah. Hey, Jim, excellent. I thought you were on from 8 to 10. Do I misremember that you're on from 8 to 10? Are you on from 7 to 9?
No, sir. It's 8 to 10.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you're starting
Eastern. That's Eastern.
Oh, I was thinking it was 9. I guess I was thinking it was 9 to 11. Okay, so it's 8 to 10 Eastern. Gotcha. Okay.
8 to 10 Eastern. I'll definitely call you beforehand. And everybody is very excited about next week's show. And that's probably the best plug we could have, Jim, for you to call in. So we'll
– I heard some people disagree with me. Don't hold back. Let's have a good, honest discussion among friends, but not hold back on opinions. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's exactly the way we're going to operate it. We're going to be very respectful, but certainly not going to hold back because, you know, this is our country.
No.
And
That's right. Well, even if people disagree with me, I'm not offended. We want to get to the truth. We're not trying to, none of us are trying to advocate some partisan point of view, you know?
Absolutely, Jim. I give you more credit than most. I'll give you more credit than almost anyone because you called and you said, hey, if folks disagree with me, set them up. Let's have a special call. Line up.
Absolutely.
Calls. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm not going to be offended because these are controversial subjects. Well, Chris, I apologize for interrupting your show here, but we'll see you next Monday then, okay?
Hey, see you next Monday. Hey, thanks, Jim. God bless.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Chris.
All right. So that was Jim Condon calling in. And, hey, don't even have to promote next week's show because Jim did it for us. And we're really looking forward to it. And I think we've got a lot of callers lined up. I'm gonna do some stuff on the Renegade website. So where you're listening to this, renegadebroadcasting.com. Just look in my comments section. And of course, I think I don't want to speak too soon, but I think that Nick Spiro is probably going to call in and it should be great, and we'll take other callers as well to reserve spots. So we'll do nothing pretty much but take calls after maybe the first 20 or 30 minutes of the show, and we'll make it real special for you next week. Of course, you know about Jim Condit with his controversial work, The Final Solution to Adolf Hitler, and of course, what's going to be very important next week, and we'll cover it in the second hour of tonight's show. The rigged elections, and we'll get into exactly how they're rigged and also the fact that Donald Trump is in on all the rigging and would not be in this position if the elections during the Republican primary were not rigged for him. So, getting back to what we were talking about, the militia being the basis for the law in Spain, France, and England during the 16th century while these nations began to colonize what they were calling the New World, which on the Solar Storm, on Kyle Hunt's show, The Solar Storm last night. If you haven't listened to it, check out last night's Solar Storm, where they kind of debunked the myth that the first Europeans came with Christopher Columbus. But we'll talk about the 16th century when Western European powers began to colonize what they referred to as the New World, America, and you know, including Canada and the Caribbean and Central America. This was going on during the 16th century, and England, of course, was dependent on the militia, and there was also France had a militia known as Francs Archers. And, of course, when you talk about general self-defense arms and projectile weapons of war back in the 15th century, you're talking about archers. So that they had militia crews of archers. And this was also the case in Spain. So we know that all of the nations involved in the colonization of America had their basis of law in the militia, which is the body of the people trained to arms. And I don't know, David, what are your thoughts on that? It's a lot of stuff to consider. How do you think is the proper way, or what do you think is the proper way, I should say, for folks to kind of digest all of this information, which is very simple at the basis level, but there's a lot of minutia in the details?
Well, for me to just tell you about it, it's plain and simple. I'll use what you normally, what I normally hear you quote often is, God creates man, man creates government. Man should never be subject to his own creation. And again, if I was to create a table and chair, and who's to say that that table and chair doesn't rule over me? Well, that's where we've gotten to. We have let this two-dimensional, fake creation, a creation of ours, take hold of us and dictate our terms every day of the week. I mean, we cannot wake up in the morning. We can't even go to sleep without having, and in between that time, having been influenced in one way or another by the government and the deep state. And we can even go beyond that. So the militia is not the National Guard. No matter how much Obama tries to tell you that on mainstream news, the National Guard is nothing but an off branch of the corporate military run by the deep state. The militia is anybody who doesn't wear a badge or bear any title of a alphabetical governmental agency, whether it be the CIA, DHS, we can name them all, but I'd rather not waste time on that. We have all the answers here. This is not me, David Dautry. This is not Chris Dorsey. This is the law laid before us by our European ancestors. The law, our constitution, like Chris said, is based on common law. And so what if people say, well, the constitution was meant to be amended and changed around, and they've done rigged it in their favor. Well, if it's meant to be amended and changed around, why don't we rig it in our favor? And I mean that in an honest way. I shouldn't even say rig it. I should just say take control of it and put it back in its proper use. Now, we've lost our sense of community. We've lost our sense of kinship. We're scattered around in packs like a bunch of modern-day traveling nomads. So therefore, we fall for anything because we've forgotten who we are. You know, we're always chasing that light, that you know, I don't want to sound like John Lesh, but the organic light. I really feel like, if anything, what he said about the organic light, and we're trying to chase it every day, that's what we're trying to do with this artificial world we have created for us. So what do we do? Watch television, listen to music, go watch a movie. Well, I'm talking about most of the music people listen to today. And I found that very strange. Somebody pitched to me today that old music, I know this is off topic, but I just thought I'd throw it in there. Older music is selling so much more than popular music. And my only thought was, no, you think? I mean, it's the music industry is the most example of what I see, a weapon of mind control, especially this new electronic-based hip-hop sort of beat music that really came from disco, which, again, that is another weapon they use, a weapon of mind control. And as us being the militia, I would advocate abolish all such weapons, such as mind control, chemical weapons, biological weapons, even napalm. I mean, there would be no need for that. We would not need to be, we would not need any reason I can think of to use such weapons.
So basically, yes. David, in your last thought, you're basically saying that the government ought to be banned from overtly, intentionally mass poisoning the population. Wow, that's quite a radical idea, and I can tell you it's radical because when I advocated that be a platform in the March Against Monsanto, I was shouted down, and later found out that was because the March Against Monsanto, like all other popular movements, is controlled by the institution that it allegedly opposes, and March for Monsanto was controlled completely by Monsanto and by many other corporations. And that's just the way things go. But yeah, I mean, wouldn't that kind of be a starting point where all the left and the right might seem to agree that it's not a good idea for the United States government to be engaged in all sorts of conventional and unconventional military aggressive operations against the American people, including poisoning us?
They're all weapons of war, Chris. The food industry, the toy making industry, the media, you know, all these children's shows, the clothes we wear, carpet. Good God, I could name all these
David, you talked about
that are,
you talked
that,
about the
that's all weapons. Now,
right.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, you talked about the music industry and the media and military operations. And this was covered a lot by David McGowan. It's been covered by Nick on his shows, it's been covered by Kyle on his shows. It's been about how the music industry and folks like Jim Morrison were plants controlled by this military operation that was headquartered in Laurel Canyon, right outside of Los Angeles, California. And as folks know, there's been a lot of unusual activity going on there. This connects, of course, to the Beach Boys and Charles Manson. But one of the most interesting things I found about, out about, you know, and I knew in the past before, Dave McGowan about Jim Morrison and his father's connection to the starting of the Vietnam War, because he was the rear admiral in control of the fleet involved with the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which was a false flag hoax. So we knew about that, but in addition, that there were many times the number of movies made in the Laurel Canyon military complex over the year of all sorts of different kinds, not specific. This is from declassified documents, than any Hollywood studio or any other movie studio around the world combined. And I thought that that was very interesting. And of course, a lot of folks have covered the fact that a Hollywood movie has to go through a Defense Department filter. And interestingly enough, the first time I ever met former Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell, and you all may remember him from his trial, and he was allegedly going to go to jail for taking bribes. Now, let me tell you, I'm very familiar with all of the governors and all of the bribe givers and takers around the Richmond, Virginia area, and I can tell you that Bob McDonnell is a degenerate scumbag, but he is not even in the top 50 of corrupt individuals in Richmond, Virginia. So let's just put it that way. So basically, they were never going to put him in jail, because then they would have to put every other corrupt individual in jail as well. Of course, they didn't have to do that. They always put in patsies. But anyways, and the time that I met Bob McDonald, I was in the chambers working on a movie, the movie called Lincoln, which was a piece of garbage. I regret gaining anything out of that except for subsistence living. Anyway, I'll come out my neck and push it down. This was an era. As long as you don't tie, dragging my bay, dropping the bomb on my street. Now come on, baby. Get in the road. Come on now. In the middle of the road, yeah. In the middle of the road, you see the darndest things. Guys driving round in jeeps through the city, wearing big diamond rings and silk suits. Past corrugated tin shacks full of kids, so man, I don't mean a hamster.
Divide and Conquer was never about placing a line between whites and blacks. That was always going to naturally happen because we are so different. It was always about whites being turned against fellow whites.
Racist this and racist that. You don't hear blacks calling each other racists, but you do hear whites calling other whites racist. You also hear white men calling white women bitches and white women calling white men pigs. It's time to cut the shit.
White men
and white women
need to become white men
and white women again. Because at the moment, white women are no longer white women.
And white men no longer white men.
It's okay to be a lady.
It's okay to be a man.
It's okay to be white.
Some things sometimes they're so hard.
This is Renegade Broadcasting.
The people $1.50 just to see them. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. Hey, farmer, farmer, put away the DDT now. Give me spots on apples, or leave me the birds and the bees. Go, that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. The key paradise, put up a parking lot.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Militia Intelligence Report on RenegadeBroadcasting.com. And, you know, I was just wanted to finish up that story about Chris Dodd. I was describing before the break how I was working on the movie Lincoln and ended up in the General Assembly chambers with about six or seven folks, including then-Governor Bob McDonnell and Chris Dodd, who was the former head of the Senate Banking Committee and at that point was head, and I think he still currently is, head of the Motion Picture Association of America. And I thought it was very interesting that, you know, and I spent a good, I don't know, at least 20 minutes talking to the two of those, McDonnell, those two individuals, I should say, McDonnell and Chris Dodd. And I talked to Chris Dodd about his father being a Nuremberg prosecutor, which if you didn't know that, the head of the Motion Picture Association is the son of a prosecutor at the Nuremberg tribunals, the kangaroo court, I should say. And it's pretty interesting because we would need kind of a genuine Nuremberg trial. Now, David was referencing that earlier in the show. This show serves as an indictment. This is the indictment. This is a prosecution. We are prosecuting those in government for treason. And that's what this show is all about. And we're also, because we call it the Militia Intelligence Report, we're also giving an intelligence report to the body of the people. And this basic episode, and it's basic because this is the basis of our rule of law. We can't have our people serve in the militia unless they know what that means. And as David pointed out, that does not mean the National Guard. That does not mean...
Well, hey, Chris, this is James. Yeah, I was trying to figure out, it seems like in 2007, 2008, the militias were going pretty strong in America, then it seems like that all of a sudden we got this Trump character in there, and it's, well, alt-right and Trump, and it seems like it's done swallowed up some of our followers. And I mean, I've actually had people come up to me and be like, well, since it's more likely going to be Trump as president, so should we start selling our guns so the market don't bottom out? And I'm like, no, you don't do that. That is stupid.
Well, I'll
but
tell
I mean,
you.
I'm actually dealing with it a lot. I mean, I've seen good people actually just all of a sudden get stupid, and it just boggles me, and I don't understand it. And I think in order to get our militias going again, we need to get our people back, and our people are gone. They're stuck on Trump and drinking the Trump Kool-Aid. I mean, it's almost worse. I remember on MySpace in 2006 or 2007, excuse me. You know, arguing with Obama zombies. These damn Trump zombies are worse.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah, they're much
insane. I know that we're going to go into that more on the second hour, but I want to be a little earlier. But I mean, that's where I'm having the trouble with everything. it's got to the point now that I'm about, I mean, we need more renegades, I guess, back on Facebook. I mean, we need to be kicking some ass here. I mean, we don't have a lot of time left, obviously. I mean, what would your solution be to get those people back so we can get our militias going again?
I would say my agenda would not have anything to do with getting these folks back. They're way too far gone.
Obama actually did it. I mean, everybody was scared of that guy. I mean, now everybody's going back to sleep, and we can't have that. I mean, I know the alt-right and Fed life is stealing our youngsters, and that's really pissing me off as well.
I'll tell you, let's get into that Fed lice, those Fed lice pieces of garbage, you know, because they are they're an absolute joke. You know, I've been a little suspicious of what I've been seeing coming out of Sweden all of a sudden. Like, these guys, I don't know about Henrik, except for I do know I don't trust him at all. And these Trump characters, they're dipshits. They're idiots. I don't want them on our side, you know.
Yeah, but that's the thing. We need those people. I mean, these are a lot of our spiritual – I mean – a lot of our religious, I mean, renegade, I mean, they obviously, you know, in Norse mythology, really heavy into that. And I'm seeing a lot of these guys who follow the Trump train, and they're supposed to be pro-white and all this, anti-Jew, but they're ignoring the Jew card, pretty basically, because they think Trump's playing the Jew. I don't believe that. I don't believe it. It's a two-party crime syndicate. And I'm with you. I think these people should be held accountable for their crimes against people.
Right.
And, the only way we can do that is we got to get our people back. I mean, the Red Ice danced around on Renegade's coattails for a long time, and then they just sucked up the people.
These controlled opposition groups always do. And that's what these feds always do. They always glom on to something legitimate and then poison that well. And that's what they're doing. And what we're saying is, man, if you're following along with Donald Trump at this point, I mean, it's an absolute joke. Hey, I'm going to give out the call-in number, and I'm going to get back to James. But I just want to give out the call-in number real quick, 747-222-8807, 747-222-8807. If you got any thoughts on this or other topics of the day, whatever's on your mind, feel free to call 747-222-8807. Yeah, I honestly think that we're separating the wheat from the chaff here with this whole Trump operation, because I would never consider any of these idiots that follow Trump as part of the collective we or us. And one case in particular, there's a militia member here, you know, one of the prominent militia members, Brandon Howard, who's a Trump supporter, who was kicked out of the militia because of his support of Trump. And he's also head of the Hopewell Virginia Republican Party, but these guys are dumbasses. And if they're not dumbasses, then they're lying infiltrators pretending to like Norse mythology because it's popular right now, and that's what young folks are into. And they're what I would call, and what the general population would refer to as, a phony. You know what I'm saying? They're phonies.
But the thing about it is, I see the people. I've been around the movement for a long time. I've seen them get smart, get stupid, get smart again. I don't want to give up on them. I mean,
well, they can come back. Well, they can get smart on their own, because what I actually suggest is get the folks who are not going to vote. That's who's on our side. Get the folks.
That's the only way I go. I mean, I tell them it's a two-party crime syndicate, and we shouldn't be involving ourselves in it. Like you say, if we do, we should be held accountable.
Right. So we can say that probably the smarter of the 50% of the adult population of the United States will not vote. So, and it might even be, I mean, I'm hoping it's closer to 60% to that of folks that don't vote. If you're out there, boycott the election. I think that that's the loudest message you can send. You know, as David pointed out earlier, we're not electing our rulers or controllers. You know, if our elections were legitimate, which they were not, we would exclusively and only be electing our servants, our virtual slaves, and our literal servants. We referenced Article 1 of Virginia Constitution, which is called Virginia Declaration of Rights. And over it says, well, in Article 1, Section 2, magistrates are servants of the people and must at all times be amenable to them. This is very, very simple stuff. You know, I'm just going to – I do want to segue into what James was talking about with the election, and we're going to get into that this hour pretty heavy. But I do want to just read a few more quotes about the militia and an armed population from the founders of the United States. And we won't even, you know, it won't even be the tip of the iceberg when we give all these quotes. And here, we'll do one from George Washington. Firearms stand next in importance to the Constitution itself. They are the American people's liberty teeth and keystone under independence. From the hour the pilgrims landed to the present day, events, occurrences, and tendencies prove that to ensure peace, security, and happiness, the rifle and pistol are equally indispensable. The very atmosphere of firearms anywhere restrains evil interference. They deserve a place of honor with all that is good. Amen. Amen to that. Here's another from Thomas Paine. The supposed quietude of a good man allures the ruffian. While on the other hand, arms, like laws, discourage and keep the invader and plunderer in awe and preserve order in the world as property. The same balance would be preserved where all the world, destitute of arms, for all would be alike. But since some will not, others dare not lay them aside. Horrid mischief would ensure, were the law abiding deprived the use of them. And that's, again, Thomas Paine. So here's one from Patrick Henry. The great object is that every man be armed, and everyone who is able may have a gun. That's Patrick Henry. So, you know, it's very clear, you know, what the basis of our law, and this is all just logic anyways. This is all just logical. And it's laid out in Article 1, Section 8 of Constitution for the United States, you know, where it says even if you like the, you know, the idea of a federalized government, which is, you know, far from what many of us like, it lays it out there. It lays out and says, okay, Congress is the closest representative, the closest servants of the people to the body of the people. So they have first control of the ability to print, coin, and set the value of money. And then, of course, wow, you got money. How are you going to enforce that? Ah, the Congress sets the rules by which all military is enforced. And what do? They ban any military expenditure of money for more than a two-year period, and they ban standing armies in time of peace, which is also banned through Article 1, Section 13 of Virginia Constitution. And, you know, that's – it's just basic stuff. That's just basic – what do you call it? Constitutional Law 101, Western Common Law 101, English Common Law 101. It's the basis of everything that we do. And I'm going to read right now from Virginia Declaration of Rights, Article 1, Section 13, that a well-regulated militia composed of the body of the people trained to arms is the proper, natural, and safe defense of a free state, that a that standing armies in time of peace should be avoided as dangerous to liberty, and that in all cases the military, that would be the Defense Department, should be in strict subordination and governed by the civil power. That is the militia. Very clear. Very clear. That is the basis of Amendment 2. That is the basis of the Second Amendment that you hear the Jew puppets, Donald Trump and Shillery Shitten, a.k.a. Pinocchio and Howdy Judy. I mean, they're just absolute puppets. They're so much of a bunch of puppets that they call each other puppets in their own puppet show. That's like Pinocchio and Howdy Doody going, I'm not a puppet, you're a puppet. That's what the American people saw during the last debate. It's ridiculous that any of these folks, anyone who votes in this election, they need to have their adult card revoked. They need to have their European membership card revoked. If you work for this government, same thing. Hey, you can be our servants, no doubt. But, man, you guys think you can enslave the people? You think you can disarm the people? You keep trying to disarm the people? And we'll get into this because I think that this is a really good segue to show just how freaking dumb the Trump supporters are and how disingenuous and dumb the Hillary Clinton supporters are as well, because we're going to get into this Project Veritas nonsense with that television actor, James O'Keefe. And I'm glad we talked about Laurel Canyon, because the military, I mean, if you look at the YouTube and you see these popular so-called patriots, these guys are paid. They're paid. It's not a one-man operation for them. They're usually part of some sort of Jewish or Mormon operation. They're trained from a young age. Their families are all involved with military intelligence and so forth. So when you see folks like James O'Keefe and Project Veritas, you know whatever they say is going to be obfuscation and subterfuge. And what I'm discussing now is this alleged Project Veritas video that is attempting to place the blame on the violence at the Trump rallies on the Hillary Clinton campaign. Okay, now we'll remember that before the idiot Trump, man, this guy is so freaking disgusting. This guy is a child rapist who has the case. Look up the case Doe, Jane Doe v. Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein. Look it up. I'll put a link again on this this page. But he
I know all that, man. I've seen your evidence you proved, and it looks pretty legit to me. And thing about it is, everybody's in love with Trump right now. They're not even seeing it. It's like the standard change. So if you got a little your daughter grinding on your lap, you know, people just think, oh, she's this proud daughter on his lap. I'm like, come on. It looks fishy to me. I mean, even if you're on the Jewish Howard Stern show, you got to be pretty dirty. I mean, dude's best friend was Roy Cohn. I mean, that dude is the most disgusting piece of garbage I've ever even heard of.
I mean, Roy, absolutely.
I mean, just absolutely. Look how he died.
So you know it's a poison well operation when these known feds, and you and I, James, I presume we both know through fairly firsthand experience that this guy, Henrik, is definitely an obvious fed. I'm calling him.
Oh, yeah. I met the guy personally.
I'll tell you what I'm going to start doing. I'm going to start.
I met the guy personally, and all he was talking about, well, at least they think I'm airing my show in Sweden, but I'm really in America. I'm like, bullshit. They already know you're an American, dumbass. I mean, that dude's pretty retarded. I mean, he couldn't even hang out with the dudes and do guy things and let the girls do girl things. That's pretty sad.
Because he's a fraud.
I know, because everybody probably would have figured him out quicker if they split up. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. If you're working on an operation with a partner, you're not going to separate from them. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Yeah, it's my fault. I'm getting too much energy going here, but
oh no!
Yeah,
it's
they stole my best friend's hard drive. Has family stuff on it. I mean, that right there, you're spying. You're a fucking spy.
Yeah,
you're
absolutely.
A piece of shit spy.
Right.
And Sinead's right. The chick's eyes are really close. When they got the eyes that are really close, not much space. Yeah, that's a giveaway. There was some bullshit, Jewish operation going on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. Clearly, Fed lice, you know, documented to have infiltrated or attempted to infiltrate Renegade and steal property and steal documents, hard drives. Hey, they're not just erasing your emails. They're stealing all of your documents. They want to get inside your head so they can better pretend to be like you, so they can fool others like you. That's what's going on. That's the agenda. And if folks are falling for this Donald Trump nonsense, like James just pointed out, man, there's video of Donald Trump getting a lap dance from his daughter. That's disgusting. But hey, folks will go into a bar and pay, from what I hear, money for something like that. So, you know, Donald gets it for free from his daughter, which is absolutely disgusting. But clearly it's the same thing as going into a strip club. So going into a strip club, although I don't necessarily advocate one do that, nobody can ever be ashamed of going into a strip club by a Donald Trump voter. You can't shame someone for going to a strip club if you're a Donald Trump voter, because you're voting for one who's getting a lap dance from his own pubescent daughter. There's pictures that millions of folks have seen, so it's not like this is some sort of secret that we're keeping. It's not, you know, this is another thing that some other folks will do. They'll take the work that I've done pointing all this stuff out. I'll get maybe 15 to 20,000 views on my YouTube channel. Somebody will basically just copy my work, and then all of a sudden they make lots of money on YouTube and a million people will watch basically their
work. That's exactly what happened to Renegade. They did the exact same to Renegade. They infiltrated and stole our people.
Oh, yeah.
We need to get them back.
Well,
sure. That pisses me off, because I put in a lot of work just working alternative media, and now I'm having it just crushed.
Hey, I'll tell you one thing I've learned. I'll tell you one thing I've learned being a part of certain organizations. Like, you know, when somebody says that they don't want to be around, or shows that they don't want to be around any longer, we say, adios, arrivederci, and don't let the door hit your ass on the way out. We don't sit around
and spend
all of our time.
They'll be back.
We don't.
They'll see how dirty Trump is.
Hey, that's fine. We may take them back if they wish to come back. But again, you know, I don't think it's good policy to worry about the worst regaining the worst and weakest links amongst us. So I do want to get into the Project Veritas. David, are you familiar with that Project Veritas new video with James O'Keefe?
I'm not.
Okay. Well, we'll get into it, because this joker, James O'Keefe, he was known in the past. I think he went into Acorn, or one of the left-wing shitbag nonprofit organizations, and, you know, with cooperation of government agencies and Operation Mockingbird-controlled mainstream media, became rich and famous for dressing like a ridiculous pimp and having some woman who was having probably a little bit of fun in her disgusting job play along with this joke. And then all of a sudden, folks think that this minor nonprofit group is behind every bit of nefarious activity the government is engaged in. And now this douchebag joker, piece of garbage, James O'Keefe, and that's why I call these folks this, because like James O'Keefe, man, you know, he's guilty of treason. He's a low-level scumbag, compromised piece of garbage. But nonetheless, you know, he requires some lawful retribution for what he's done. And he's putting forward this narrative that Hillary Clinton and her supporters were behind violence at the Donald Trump rallies. And this is, of course, after Donald Trump blamed Bernie Sanders supporters for this. Now, I do want to point out that I've videotaped these violent encounters and staged events at Trump rallies firsthand. And whenever I do it, I've always got a partner with me, and that's Glenn Sutphin, who is filming what I'm doing while I'm filming other things. So we're filming each other and filming the events. And we're also live broadcasting these things. So all one had to do to figure out that every single Trump rally was staged, and also that the police, the Department of Homeland Security, the Secret Service, the media, and the Trump campaign themselves, controlled by these institutions, are the ones that are creating the violence on both sides. On both sides. Now,
yeah, that's what I figured anyway, because I've only seen one Hillary Clinton sign the whole election. Most of her rallies are rent-a-mobs anyway. What the way I look at it is,
so are the
she was never meant to be president. She was to help get Trump elected or selected, or to brainwash people with Trump, because she's so rotten and foul that everybody's going to automatically go down 10 different standards lower and like Trump.
Okay.
I mean, they're using psychology on us. They've been doing it from day one. I mean, it's horrible.
I wish to be clear on this one, because the Trump rallies are rent-a-mobs as well.
As well, yep.
They
exactly.
are rent-a-mobs as well, and they are getting paid in all sorts of different clandestine manners, I should say, from all sorts of different sources. And Nick has covered the money trail on the right, the CNP and their connection to the Trumps, the money.
Oh yeah, I mean Roy Cohn. I mean, has tied with the lawyer for John Gotti. I mean, Nick, that dude does some really good research. I mean, that dude's really helped destroy Trump or whatever. But the thing about it is man, it's both sides are rent-a-mobs, and Hillary. I mean, Hillary's side is extremely small. I mean, the people that you see on the alternative media that don't even know who Joe Biden is are probably not even going to vote anyway.
That's true. I mean, we're going into a break, so we'll be back with more coverage on the militia and the elections on the Militia Intelligence Report.
Love listening to Renegade Broadcasting?
then why not help spread the word by wearing some of our fashionable and comfortable clothing or purchasing some hats, stickers, posters, beer steins, and more. There are lots of different designs and color options for you to choose from. This is not the cheap swag that you might be used to, but real, high-quality products that last. The links to the Zazzle and Spreadshirt shops run by Thunderhammer Designs are on the left-hand sidebar of our site. Show the world you're a renegade.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Militia Intelligence Report. This is the last half hour of tonight's show. We're here every Monday. Next Monday, as you may have heard, Jim Condit Jr. will be our guest, and we're going to line up callers to call in, and hopefully we'll get even a couple hosts from Renegade calling in. We've got James and David on the line, and we're discussing today militia, origin of the law, or militia, origin of law. And, we'll just throw in another real quick quote from one of the big-time founding fathers of the United States, Thomas Jefferson, and he stated his opinion about guns thusly. Those who hammer their guns into plowshares will plow for those who do not. So it seems very clear. We've established, hey, David, I just want to get your, check the temperature of the room here. Are we being clear about the militia, about being the basis of the law? Is there anything, that you can think of that we can say before we, kind of segue full time, for the last maybe like 20 minutes of the show, into the rigged election?
No, I can't really think of anything as far as the militia. To me, you just about covered all bases. I mean, we can branch out further one day if we've had enough time and talk about more, because there is a lot to talk about. But other than that, nope.
Yeah, fair
enough.
Can't really
think of anything right now. You go ahead.
Fair enough. We'll give out the call number again, 747-222-8807. And now we're talking about how both of these campaigns, and all we're hearing about now is how the election is rigged and the system is rigged. And that kind of reminds me of one of my last studio appearances, in Press TV, when I filmed for Press TV, I'm filming at the Virginia State Capitol in the basement of the General Assembly building. And, there's a PBS studio there. So most of what you see when folks are on CNN or MSNBC, if they happen to be in Richmond, you'll see the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond as the main building in the background, but it's in that same studio in the basement of the General Assembly building. A lot of background with that, but I was debating the editor of the Independent UK, and of course I was saying how the election is rigged and the economy is 100% rigged by those who carried out the false flag attacks of 9/11, the owners of the Bank for International Settlements, the Zionist occupied government, of course. And I said over and over again, the entire system's rigged. And then well, I started. Go ahead.
Well, I was wanting to point out one thing, and it might be something everybody that's listening to this show might, they may want to listen a little, I don't know, you might just want to listen, but why would Trump actually call out, you know, the evildoers that are running everything? Everybody's like, Trump's not a shield because he's calling out the evil people right now. We need to actually address this one thing here.
But he's not.
It's part of the show.
Right.
But the people don't see that.
Right.
And
right.
I was actually wanting to talk about the type of psychology they were using. That way, I mean, I didn't know if you had any insight on why they would have Trump call out the bad guy and everybody wants to run to him. So, I mean,
Hold on a second, Jay. I guess basically where I was going with that was to point out that Donald Trump is a billionaire talking about a rigged system. Donald Trump has won every single election that he – well, not every election, but he won a majority, overwhelming majority of the primary. He is talked about on television, the media, which he says is his downfall. He's talked more on the media – positive and negative than any other candidate I've ever seen for any other office in the history of my lifetime. So my point being is that of course the system is rigged and of course Donald Trump is involved and benefiting from the rigging. And if folks can't figure that out, they probably wouldn't be able to figure out the quote I just stated from Thomas Jefferson, which says, those who hammer their guns into plowshares will plow for those who do not. And reference back to when you said folks you're talking to are talking about selling their guns because they think that Donald Trump is going to be elected. Now, first of all, I disagree. I think that Clinton will be elected. And also, it's such a nonsensical statement. These individuals ought to have give their guns away to somebody who deserves them because they do
right.
not
Quit
deserve
Right, quit wasting
them.
Space. Quit wasting space and let somebody
exactly.
else use the space.
Now we're getting into how we counter our enemies, even these idiots, and we completely disregard the idiots. We brush them aside.
Before the last debate, you know, I was talking to everybody. It's like, man, this is all rigged. And I got a bunch of friends locally. It's like, yeah, all the elections are rigged and this and that. The next thing you know, Donald Trump talks about that. So that means that he's the savior. I'm like, holy shit.
Man,
that just went right over your head. I'm having a hard trouble now.
James, hold on a second. I just want to make something very clear. And you know, this is years of going through this stuff where you find these absolute dipshit idiots that will waste your time, that it's not even worth it. They should be disregarded. Tell them, yeah, hey, don't sell your gun. Don't gain anything out of it. Give it away to somebody with a, you know, with some sort of intestinal fortitude because you don't even deserve to be an American. Get out of our country. That's what I say to
the problem.
Those folks. That's what I say to Donald Trump supporters. Hey, we got another caller. 305, where are you calling from? What's your name?
Hey, this is Arabs Are in Hollywood from Twitter, Chris. Ralph, how you doing, man?
Oh, doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. This fascinating show. I mean, we don't really hear that much about the militia nowadays. That was happening more toward the early 90s, and now hopefully we could get these ludus going. You know, like John says, I think that's a good idea. But I actually have something pretty interesting concerning predictive programming I was just thinking about. I watched these videos on YouTube by a gentleman by the name of Zachary K. Hubbard. He talks about gematria.
Oh, yeah, and, very familiar with Zach.
He's fascinating stuff, man.
Great.
I know he's on Truth Frequency Radio with Chris G. I know Kyle and Chris Geo don't agree on some philosophical things, but I do tune into his show. But one fascinating thing with predictive programming that I'm seeing that he made me think about was the World Series. I think there's something to that, and I'll tell you why. Because you have the Cleveland Indians as the AL team.
Yeah.
And where was the Republican convention this year? In Cleveland.
Yeah, who won?
Now
the
you have the Finals? Chicago Cubs. You have the Chicago Cubs, and where are they from? Illinois, Obama. And the color schemes of each of the teams are very similar to the color schemes we see in the election cycle. The Indians, their road jerseys are dark blue. They have red lettering, not white lettering like the Indians do, but the colors are similar. And Hillary's colors are very similar to the Chicago Cubs. But that's not the main point I'm making. There's a pitcher on the Cleveland Indians by the name of Trevor Bauer that had injured his finger in game 3.
Yeah.
And the reason I find that interesting is because normally when you bleed in the occult, that's meant to be some sort of a sacrifice. So when you bleed in the occult as a sacrifice, that means you're giving of your blood so you can gain something. And Trevor Bauer's name in gematria equals 55. You know what that also equals? The Chicago Cubs. Mm-hmm. They also equal 55 in a form of gematria. So I found that interesting. So maybe that's predicting that the Indians win the World Series and Trump wins the election. I still think Clinton is going to, but I just wanted to bring in that occultic aspect in there and to see what everybody could kind of think about that. And I just thought it was an interesting bit of information. Maybe it doesn't mean anything, but
no,
you know, another person that bled.
Real quickly,
I'll get off the line once I make this last point.
Go ahead, sorry. Hear
your point. Yeah. Another person that bled 12 years ago to break a curse was Curt Schilling. He bled in game 6 of the ALCS. And you know, and it's funny, Curt Schilling said he was going to run for U.S. Senate in 2018. So I find that to be a bit strange, all these coincidences. So I'm just going to listen to you speak and just put myself on mute. And thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. I think you're definitely on to something. I really like Zach Hubbard's work. I do a little bit of dabbling in the sports and predictive programming analysis myself, because I used to be a sports fan, and now I've dedicated my brain power to additional, much more important subjects. We know that the NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL, NCAA, the Barclays Premier League, Liga A, the Bundesliga, we know they're all rigged. We know all these professional sports teams are rigged. I like to get into that stuff. There was a reference there to pitching and a blood sacrifice in the American League Division Series this year with a pitcher with the last name Bauer, which interestingly enough is the original last name of the Rothschild family, Bauer or Bauerberg, but well known as Amschel Bauer. And also, so that's very interesting. And there was a bleeding instance with Bauer. And of course, that ties in with the bleeding of Curt Schilling in the American League, not the division series, the championship series. The Red Sox pitcher Schilling bleeding, turning his socks even more red. And we'll remember also when we can kind of segue back in and say, hey, it's a fascinating subject, thanks for the call, that Curt Schilling was interviewed after, I think it was after the Sox won the World Series, because I think they won on that Monday night, right before the election between George W. Bush and John the Jew Kerry. Of course, Bush is the Bush family are bloodline Jews as well. But, and he said on one of the morning shows, be sure to vote for George W. Bush. Now, I remember that because I was an active member of the Democratic Party at that time. and a little bit more of a sports fan. I'm an Orioles supporter and don't like the Red Sox, the Yankees, or Curt Schilling. And I really despised George Bush at that time. But now I just think he's a big fat joke who needs lawful retribution, just like the rest of them. But yeah, I'm absolutely with you. It's something to watch out for, and it's very interesting, the connection between the Republican National Convention and Hillary's hometown of Chicago, Illinois. And there's a lot of other number things going on. The number 50 with this, you know, Chicago Cubs team is something to really look into. It was last Chicago Cubs World Series, 1945. That's the end of the Second World War. Is the next World Series for Chicago going to be representing the 1-6 beginning of World War III, representation of the World War that's already underway? I think there's a lot to that. Anyway, great call. Thanks for the call. Always welcome to call in. The number is 747-222-8807. And we've got about, I would say, about 12 minutes left to go on the show. And I want to talk about how the militia system was ended, and kind of the step-by-step process by which this happened. And it certainly would not have happened without the war between the states. And my personal family experience with my third great grandfather, a former lieutenant in the Jefferson Guard, which was part of the Virginia militia, and his name was Edward W. Dorsey. And as I said, he was a lieutenant in the Virginia militia, and the detachment he was a part of was the Jefferson Guard, which was located in Harper's Ferry, Jefferson County, West Virginia. And now when there was an attack, when a roving band of trained mercenaries led by John Brown laid siege and attempted to take over the armory at Harper's Ferry, which is very strategically located at the confluence of the Potomac River and the Shenandoah River. And so when he did this right across the river from Maryland, and when John Brown led this murderous raid on the people of Harper's Ferry, who was there to defend them? It was the Jefferson Guard and the Hamtramck Rifles and various other local Shenandoah Valley detachments of the Virginia militia. And of course, Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee showed up. And then after the uprising, the attack was put down, my third great grandfather, Edward W. Dorsey, served as part of the detachment that guarded John Brown and his conspirators. And then they were tried, found guilty of treason, and executed. And so we have a game plan laid out. And I'm sure very many or most of the listeners out there, if you're listening in America or other places, you have an ancestral family memory of the militia directly and documentably saving lives and protecting their community. And that for most of you, you have family members who were engaged in this, because this wasn't some sort of heroic act. This was members of a culture and families protecting one another who have a common interest and a common law. And it's really basically just that simple. That's what we must do. We've already laid out the tactics. I'm putting the finishing touches on a book, and it will be entitled The Militia Handbook. And we will get more into the tactics. But you see my tactics. You see the tactics of the militia at even this Trump rally, where we're verifying that the violence is caused by the police. So what do we always do? We always outflank the police. We always point the camera right at the police's head while we're outflanking them. We tell them we're outflanking you and we're armed. We're with the militia and now we're moving on. We've already outflanked you. So the militia, the only mission and the only strategy of the militia being the body of the people that can never be divorced from this land where I stand right now in Richmond, Virginia, or anywhere else in the Eastern United States or in Europe, is our land. We cannot be divorced from it, and we shall always outflank you with superior firepower. That is the only strategy that will work, and talking about any other strategy will not work. We only need a very small percentage of the population to get this done. We don't need a bunch of idiots. We don't need a bunch of Trump retreads to come back. We'll use them, you know, for whatever purpose they're useful for. And that's usually just to sit on their ass and blow smoke up everyone else's. So, David, we're going to close it down here. I'm going to give you maybe like a minute or two. Then we'll go to James. And then we got three folks still on the line. So we'll go in that order. David, what are your thoughts to close out tonight?
Well, my thoughts are we have to start networking. Now, what I mean by that is it's such a pleasure to be a part of Renegade. I mean, you don't know how happy that makes me. And I'm sure everybody else feels the same way. Now, yeah. James, on the line here, I'm happy to know him. I just met him today. We've been messaging each other for a few days, and what do you know? I called him on my lunch break. Now me and him are networking, and I'm sure a lot of you are doing that as well. And I truly believe that that's the only way we're ever going to be able to really make an impact in every way, shape, or form. Because, like I said, the internet is a double-edged sword. It gives us the ability to be divided, or it gives us the ability to come together, whether it's physically or spiritually.
And yeah, absolutely, David. Great point. Networking is the key. And we're gonna call to muster the militia, you know, several times here pretty soon, and that just means, man, do it yourself, you know, go out and when we talk about the militia, we're mostly talking about the video militia. We're talking about being armed with loaded guns, of course. That's what we do. We always go out with armed with loaded guns, of course. But we're also talking about, you know, building up. Through use of, I don't, David and I have talked about this, this Hollywood, studio who's been contacting us about a reality show based on the militia. And I basically said to them, I'm like, yeah, I'd be interested in using your outlet in order to abolish this criminal government. We're interested in using, making a movie about abolishing the government while we're abolishing the government. And we're really abolishing the government lawfully, and we're really restoring our natural common law, but we're also just making a movie with real guns and real documents protected by the First Amendment and all of our other God-given rights. So we require to be smarter than everyone else. And honestly, I'm going to paraphrase a quote from George Carlin, and I'm going to tie this to the election and kind of tie this also in to reaching out to non-voters, reaching out to those who have had enough and say, hey, you're an idiot if you vote, and say, think about how dumb the average person is, and then think, 50% of the population is dumber than that. So, again, yes, the Jews have made us dumb. Yes, this is a real problem. Yes, a lot of folks are victims, but we all did it to ourselves. We need to shake off this victim mentality, and we need to go forward, and we need to be generous and kind, but we cannot coddle the people. We can't coddle them. James, real quick, a minute to close out, and then I'm going to go I never remember your full name or what you were going by, but then we'll go to the last caller. James, to you.
Yeah, pretty basically, I was just wanting to close out with just being grateful to have Renegade Broadcasting. Been lots and lots of great content coming from Renegade Broadcasting and Renegade Tribune as well. But, I mean, Kyle, Sinead, Nick Sparrow, Charles Giuliani, everybody on the internet calls him the legend. And, I mean, I'm extremely grateful to have him and Sean as well. And, you even, John Beattie. I mean, everybody's great. And, but the only one I don't really like, I'm glad that damn Graham Hart's not on here anymore. He's a piece of shit, and I'm glad he's gone, and I never really got anything from his shows, period. But, yeah, man, I'm just grateful, and maybe I'd like to stay positive during this whole thing. It's just heartbreaking to see all these white nationalists following the Trump train, and that's been my main concern. It's had me tore up. I mean, I'm a person that always needs to live in the solution. I can't stand living in the problem.
That's what we're working on. That's what we're working on, and definitely appreciate the call. And we'll say we won't even call them white nationalists anymore. We'll call them Jews.
Dumb nationalists.
We'll call them Jews. We'll call them Jew servants. So anyone who supports Trump, you can no longer call yourself a European nationalist or a white nationalist.
You're just white trash.
You are white trash and a Jewish slave. Yeah, absolutely. Amen. And God bless. And thanks for the call. Great to meet you, James. And I'm sure we'll talk in the future. Yeah. Okay. And we're going to close out. Final words. 91. Anyway.
There was a check on Charlotte. He didn't crack a smile, but it's no laughing parted when you've been on the murder mile. Only takes one itch and trigger, one more widow, one less white nigger. I was on.
From the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion.
Shalom. In order to put public opinion into our hands, we must bring it into a state of bewilderment by giving expression from all sides to so many contradictory opinions, and for such length of time as will suffice to make the average person lose their heads in the labyrinth and come to see that the best thing is to have no opinion of any kind in matters political.